720 WGN on the road with Dane, live here in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue on what is a beautiful last day of September. We have a jam-packed show for you today, coming off of the Wildcat broadcast. So I want to run through some of the things we're going to have. We've got a number of chefs. I think it's 13, 14 chefs and some of the best farmers in the world have brought their A-game, making the ultimate road trip for Grand Cajon. It is happening here. It is happening tomorrow at Morgan Manufacturing. We've got some of those guys, some of those chefs in studio with us, along with one of the farmers. We'll talk with them as well before the break and news and a little bit after. And on the auto racing side as well. And of course, Lisa, it wouldn't be complete if we didn't touch on a little bit of the Mighty Cubs as well. We're going to have Abby Suarez. She is the executive director for the Anthony Rizzo Family Foundation. She'll be on talking about some of the things going on as we get into the postseason for the Mighty Cub. Chris Devota from NBC NASCAR, she'll be joining us to preview Dover as we get into the playoffs. She'll also talk a little Cub, as she grew up in Iowa. And so she lost her voice, not from trying to scream over the engines for the Monster Energy Cup Series, but trying to cheer for the Cubs as they clinched the division. What do you think about that, Lisa?
Naturally. Well, did you watch the game?
Of course.
Okay. See, I was actually at a meeting during the game, but the meeting got out, and I was like, on the phone with my mom. She was like, they're about to clinch. And I was like, okay. So I walked down the street. I was on
Lincoln. What do you do? Like, do you pretend you've got some kind of cramps or right. Ebola?
Right. So I walked down the street, Lincoln Avenue up in Ravenswood, and I look, and there's a restaurant with TV, and everybody's watching the Cubs game, and I see, I have a perfect view, and I watched the last thing.
I saw the post for that.
I posted it on Facebook. If you were sitting in this restaurant on Lincoln Avenue, I promise I wasn't staring through the window watching you. I was watching the Cubs clinch.
Okay, good stuff. Yes, and that's important. It's an important distinction.
I wish I had my Cubs hat on like you.
They're for sale. I'm sure there's some around town. Kenny Wallace, also, you know him, you love him, as one of the star's personalities of NASCAR on Fox, one of those favorite drivers, also a famed Cardinals fan, and he was there toughing it out as the Cub clinch in Busch Stadium. But he was, you know, took the high road there. So we'll talk with Kenny a little bit about the Cubs, a little Cardinals, and of course, kind of previewing Dover as we get into the playoffs. So stay tuned for that as well. At least when you get a chance, if you could bring out the spots before we go, because I don't have any as far as like our news.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Do we have like a
no
news?
No problem.
Okay.
We do, and I will bring it right out to
yeah,
you.
Yeah, any time in studio with us, and let's get right to some of these introductions. To my right, we've got Michelle DeShaff. She is from 1936 Meadowbrook Farm. She is going to be a big part of Grand Cajon, bringing in, and I know this is like your second year participating, bringing in some of the pigs. You've got a Mangalista that you brought in for Chef Ricardo from Travelle. So welcome to WGN.
Thank you.
And then we also have, let me turn on everybody's microphone, in studio on the chef side, we've got Evan Leroy
from
Austin, Texas, made your way all the way up here, normally cooking in a food truck, pitmaster chef, going to be bringing that A game, hopefully to leave here with the King of Pork title, correct?
That's the goal, yeah.
Right, and then Jordan Kao from Ina in San Francisco, bringing the flavors, the feel of the islands, the Hawaiian, hopefully, right? You know, of course,
aloha.
And the pig side has a huge influence in the Hawaiian Islands, bringing that to Cajon as well. So guys, first off, what have you done anything? Have you been here? Is it all just kind of focused on the game, trying to win that coveted title? Have you got a chance to see Chicago? Jordan, have you gotten out at all?
Yeah, we had a chance to eat at the Purple Pig, some great restaurants here.
See the Purple Pig.
Yeah,
did you feel obligated to do that based
on
the situation?
Places when you're in Chicago, you have to eat at if you want to embrace Chicago at its truest form. So we did that, and it was great. But after that, we've been focusing primarily on cooking and getting ready for the event on Sunday.
And Leroy, what have you been out and about? You've been studying? You're in the room kind of going through, breaking down the game films from the other chefs trying to plan for today?
Yeah, totally been Facebook stalking every single other chef. No, I got here on Wednesday night, stayed with a friend, dropped the food off. You know, most of the stuff was prepped already. I drove up in a van with Big Yeti coolers full of food. So I dropped the
There's
stuff
nothing
off.
Wrong with it. Just yeah. That, with those words, Big Yeti coolers full of food. People, you know that means good.
But then I went to see the Cubs. I went to see the Cubs versus the Reds the other day.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, as you can tell just by kind of the preview of the show today, that we do have an affinity for the Mighty Cubs. So what did you think? I mean, you know, Austin, you got Texas, you got a bunch of football is king, of course, and we love our football here. But you're at one of the kind of the Taj Mahals, the temples of sports over at Wrigley.
Yeah, I have been to Wrigley before. I love it. It's definitely my favorite baseball park. It's just an experience. It's awesome.
It is an experience. And when it comes to awesome and experience, Cushone, people who have listened for a while know that we love that entire tour. It is the number one best food culinary tour, chef tour, especially with kind of the higher purpose that they do on the pig side and the heritage breed pork side as well. But it is great. And usually we have our events, we promote them here in Chicago. And typically the championship, Grand Cushone, is in Aspen. I've covered it a number of years in Aspen Snowmass. They usually have it kind of secluded in a mountainside somewhere or part of the Food and Wine Classic. So to have it here in Chicago is, it's awesome because it's here, right? It's strange, but what are your thoughts? You know, as guys who've been familiar with the events on the chef side, what are your thoughts about having it here as opposed to, you know, in Aspen off in the mountains?
I don't know. For me, it seemed really fitting. You know, like this is the place where sausages, charcuterie, all that kind of stuff was and is so strong. You know, it's like if you want to study like this, this is where you would go.
And what are your thoughts?
It's great to be in Chicago. I love it here.
I mean, as far as having the event here, some distractions, right? Yeah. Sometimes you can kind of have that kind of harness your chi and be up there in the mountains and focus just on that. But here there are some distractions.
Yeah. Well, having such a large amount of restaurants for all the chefs to, you know, be in their own, you know, paired up with a different local restaurant here. You know, I can imagine probably some difficulty in Colorado or in Aspen where there's less restaurants per chef actually having to prep there. So it's good to be able to work with, like I was prepping at the Waldorf Astoria, I was working with the chefs over there. Everybody's been really accommodating.
Cool.
Better conditions than I'm used to anyway.
It's going to be some great stuff and it's going to all happen tomorrow at Morgan Manufacturing. When we come back from the news, we're going to talk with them a little bit about the bites that they've prepared. They're not going to let too much or too many of those cats or pigs out of the bag. You know, got to keep it close to the vest if you want to win the championship. So stay tuned for that. And of course, for Chris Devota and Kenny Wallace coming up along with Abby Suarez from the Rizzo Foundation. Right now, though, it is 3 o'clock, a minute after or so.
Hi, this is IndyCar driver Graham Rahal, and you're on the road with Dane on WGN.
720 WGN on the road with Dane live here, Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue on the eve before Grand Cushone here in Chicago at Morgan Manufacturing coming up tomorrow afternoon. In studio, we have a celebrity farmer, Michelle DeShaff from 1936 Meadowbrook Farm. We do have Evan Leroy from Leroy and Lewis in Austin, and we've got Jordan Kayao from Ina in San Francisco. Guys, let's talk kind of about the format of it. We have a lot of food events here in the Chicagoland area. We're used to them. We get it. Obviously, the higher purpose here, promoting the importance of and highlighting some of those heritage breed pork situations. But so, Jordan, it's a couple bites, right? You're going to have like three of the best bites that you brought to your competition in San Fran.
Yes, we're going to do three of our bites. And our whole goal is to really bring Hawaii to Chicago in its truest form. And as authentic as possible, we're going to be doing lau lau, haupia, and some of our house-made char siu pork loin, along with our house-made lap chong sausage.
Wow. See, that's going to be very cool. It's a different take on things as well. So good luck tomorrow during the competition. And Evan, what are you guys going to be doing? I know it's going to be, you know, you're a chef, you're a pit master, some of the things people know and love about barbecue.
Yeah, well, we're bringing three of the bites that we cooked in Austin. Also, there's a crispy pork belly dish that we smoked in Austin.
See, you can't go wrong with that.
Yeah, there's a there's like a skin noodle thing that we've got going on. We were just talking about that a minute ago. And there's some.
See, and that's one of the things too. The listeners need to know. And Cushone555.com for tickets. There are still a few available to join us out there tomorrow. But yeah, and part of it is to utilize, you know, a lot of the oftentimes unutilized parts of the animal in amazing and delicious ways.
Yeah, I mean, that's our entire thought process at Leroy and Lewis. I mean, every other barbecue place, you know, mostly buying commodity meat. We get a whole hog a week. You know, we make sliced pork with the shoulders. We do the bellies. We do big double cut pork chops. We make sausage with the hams. And, you know, that's pretty much the whole thing.
One of the cool things about this too is heritage breed pork. You get the pig, you get to do whatever you want. You get it in advance and you get to do kind of whatever it is that you want that you think will give you the best chance, not only to please a lot of the people there, but give you the best chance to win. And Michelle over there at 1936 Meadowbrook Farms, give kind of the listeners into that insight, what you do. You raise this pig and then you turn it over for competition.
We raise the pigs from farrow to finish, we call it. And so they're born on the farm, and our pigs are probably 18 months old before they go off to freezer camp, we call it, or they have their one bad day on the farm. So they're cared for greatly. And so it's great with the cochon, where the chef gets to utilize the whole pig. I'm not having to break it down into specific cuts. It's from the nose to tail. And pretty excited about the skin noodles, because there's a lot of skin on a pig. And the Mangalitsa pig that we raise, it has, you know, probably, they say 40% more fat than the average pig.
Yep.
So very excited. Cochon has been a great event for us in introducing us to the chefs in Chicago. Any farmer should go ahead and, you know, do this event, because it's great publicity. Great. You get to meet all the chefs from all over.
Yep. And we've got ones from all over the country here today. And we're going to have some of your social media and some of the links to the restaurants up at WGNradio.com as well. We want to wish you guys good luck, number one, tomorrow. And I know that you're going to kind of, you know, put in the focus, harness your chi. And but before we let you go, Jordan, like, what would it mean if you win this? This is one of those titles, and we've got some people win this. They get like a tattoo or something like that. Are you going to celebrate here in Chicago? Are you going to do something crazy?
You know, for us, there's a lot of pressure, because we're not just doing it for ourselves. We're doing it for Hawaii. We're trying to put Hawaii food on the map, but not pineapple. So it's a big thing for us, and we're really stoked and excited to be representing Hawaii. And if we could bring home the gold to Hawaii, we'd be very excited. Oh. And I think Hawaii would be as well.
Man, I'm excited. I am excited for all the reasons you know and love the barbecue side of things and things that you typically see. Although, and I got to tell people, because Shone555.com, get out there and enjoy it, because you're going to see things you haven't seen before. But I'm excited to see that take on it, that spin on it. And Evan, your thoughts? What are you going to do if you win?
We'll definitely celebrate. But, you know, then we'll just go back to Austin and keep doing what we do.
And just gloat, right? That's what you'll do? Go back there? You got to update the resume for sure?
Well, I'll definitely have to thank our farmer, Loncito and Peaceful Pork, you know, if that happens. They're the one who give us the amazing product.
It's exciting stuff. It's always exciting to have Grand Cochon happening. It's really, really cool to have it happening here in Chicago for the first time ever. So good luck, guys. Thanks again, Michelle, for everything you're doing. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to have Abby Suarez. She is the executive director for the Anthony Rizzo Family Foundation. Stay tuned. It's On the Road with Dane here on 720 WGN. Let's go!
This is Abby Suarez with the Anthony Rizzo Family Foundation, and I'm on the road with Dane on WGN.
WGN on the road with Dane, live here in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. This time of year, you've got so many great things happening all over Chicagoland, whether it's some of the great festivals, whether it's some of the great baseball, whether it's some of the great beefs around Chicagoland. And of course, we know and love Bona Beef for being a part of our bona fide ride of the show every week here. And as people get out in their car and they get out to some of these great places that enjoy the beef, some of them are enjoying it the Big Hurt way, right? And probably most of them, especially this time of year with the Cubs clinching the division, are enjoying their Bona Beef the Rizzo way. In studio, we have Joe Bonavalancho III with Bona Beef. Joe, welcome to WGN.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And we've got, when you think about the Cubs and you think about Bona Beef, you think about Anthony Rizzo, not only the stuff that he does on the field, but all that great work that he does with the foundation. Abby Suarez, the executive director of the Anthony Rizzo Foundation, is in studio with us as well. Abby, welcome to WGN.
Thanks for having us.
So how do you do it? And for the foundation, and I think it is one of those wonderful things when you can take a personality that is beloved in Chicago for all the right reasons, the reasons of his personality, certainly what he does on the field, but also a lot of the work and some of his priorities off the field. And you look at Anthony, this is a guy who's got so many demands on him career-wise, whether it's, you know, some of the marketing stuff, some of just the things that go along with being a major league superstar, but he takes time, and his foundation is a huge priority for him. So for people, then they hear about the Anthony Rizzo Foundation, they think what it is that it does. They know that, especially here in September for National Childhood Cancer Awareness Month, but give a little kind of a snapshot of the foundation and what you guys do over there.
Well, Anthony started the foundation about 5 years ago. When he was 18, he was diagnosed with cancer when he was playing for the Red Sox. And him and his mom were talking and said, won't I get better and I beat this and I become an MLB player? I want to give back to the community. So they started the foundation. And over the last 5 years, we're going to donate $4 million back. We're going to raise more than $2 million this year. So we're really excited. Our main focus is delivering grants directly to families, monetary grants. The stress of a cancer diagnosis on a family is something that we really want to take away, the financial aspect of that stress. So our goal is to help families pay their bills, their mortgages, their utilities, any kind of bills that will help them so they never have to choose between saving their child's life and paying a bill. That's really important to the foundation and the family.
You think about it, and oftentimes when you have a child in your family and they get sick, it is something that comes out of left field. It isn't something maybe older you think of things or lifestyle or family history, and you think to yourself, this is something I've got to plan for, think in the back of your mind. Oftentimes when it happens with one of the children, it's way out of left field, and it really does hit the family. Not only just the diagnosis and what that means for the child and for the family, but you mentioned it, just the expenses that go along with it. So how many times when you get a family in there that has one of these diagnoses, do they share with you that they had absolutely no idea that not only, you know, you've got to battle this disease, but all the things on the lifestyle and the finances that go with it?
The stories I've heard are unbelievable. Now, having a child of my own, I look at him and we've heard stories of families who go to the doctor that day because their child has an earache. And so they go in the morning to a doctor and at night their kid's already receiving chemo treatment at the hospital.
Wow.
And it's just earth shattering to these families and the entire family. So what we really concentrate on is helping the family as a whole. So Anthony remembers when he was fighting cancer that he was like, okay, I got this. I'm going to do this. And he really could control his attitude, but he couldn't control how worried his family was. His mom had to stop working. She was a bartender at night. She stopped working to take care of Anthony. So they went from a two-income household to one. And they were very lucky in a great situation where the Boston Red Sox really stepped up and helped them. But as we know, all companies aren't that same way. And when a family's one person's working on an hourly salary and has to stop because they have to be at the hospital three times a week with their child getting chemo treatments, it's a huge hit to the family. So we really want to take that financial stress off the family and really help them concentrate on just getting their kid healthy. And that's all that matters.
Anthony is prominent, obviously, with the Cubs. And so he has that platform to be able to kind of take the fame that he has and kind of share to affect change in some of these different causes. What does he do? And obviously, you do a lot of great work with the foundation as well as its executive director. But what does Anthony do to help? Is he bumping into people, you know, that he knows could help and saying like, hey, you need to get involved? Is he trying to recruit donors or set up situations? Is a lot of that left to you? Like, how do you utilize? He knows what needs to be done and you know he wants to help, but how do you best have Anthony engaged in what you do?
So what a lot of people don't know is Anthony goes to the hospital at least once a month to visit these children. It's a great inspiration to them, not only the children, but the parents, to see, hey, this kid had cancer and he beat it. His life isn't all about cancer. There's life after cancer. And that's a really big inspiration to these families to see Anthony, now a Major League Baseball player, who once was in the same situation as their kid. We also have families out to the ballpark all the time. Anthony, about every other game, has invited children out to the ballpark to watch BP, and he meets with them one-on-one and just kind of gives them some uplifting words of encouragement. He writes letters to kids all the time. He will write letters and send an autographed photo with some inspiration to the children saying, hey, this was my story, this is what I went through, and you can get here too. So those are really big things that Anthony does. But I think what's really unique about Anthony and really something that's great that his agent, Mark Pollock, and I are really proud of is Anthony said, every deal I want to sign this year, any big, huge deal, is I want to have a foundation angle to it as well. So Anthony has really made it a priority, and working with BONA is a huge plus to the foundation. We get a lot of exposure to let people know what we do as a foundation, and we get to work with a world-class company that really helps us on a daily basis.
Yeah, and you build in so much about what happens on the field with the Cubs and everything is based around fun, not so much disappointment like it was many, many years for me growing up as a Cubs fan. So a lot of thanks to Anthony for that. And then you build in the BONA side too. And I think what you've got here is, and you mentioned it off the air, you know, talking with the family, oftentimes on what they're going to do, whether it's events, how to manage things, or even just the communication that happens for the Rizzo Foundation on the family side. And when you talk with Bone of Beef, it's a family as well. And so they can totally understand that dynamic and understand not only, you know, the need to go ahead and kind of make things fun and interesting, but also kind of get that word out and share it. And I wanted to ask you, Joe, because the Anthony Rizzo Foundation, as prominent as Anthony is as an athlete, this is a great partnership because this is the way that most of our listeners, when we hear, have even heard about, you know, the great work that Anthony is doing because of the 19 locations, soon to be 20, the relationship that they have, the fact that you guys have made it not only kind of an afterthought for some of the things that you're doing, but it's right out front with this.
Yeah, absolutely. Just to partner with someone that's doing such great work, it's a great representation in our restaurants to be able to say that we're partnering with Anthony Rizzo.
And the way that you guys have made it. Now, you know, because there's celebrity endorsements on a regular basis for all sorts of different things. But to not only to do that, to raise awareness about the foundation, give diners and customers an opportunity to get involved and mm-hmm. support it. But also you went a step further and you kind of built it full circle and built in a lot of fun on the food side. And so you people can have it the Rizzo way, right?
As you enter our building, you're going to see a big life-size poster of
is it life-size, Abby?
Was
it,
that was people it? Keep trying to steal, right?
They try to steal it every day.
If I was in college right now, I would have that. That would be in my room.
And it has a blurb about the Rizzo Foundation and then how you could order a sandwich the Rizzo way. And we have all kinds of signage close to our registers that say, order your sandwich the Rizzo way, and a portion of the proceeds is going to go to his foundation. And it's really great. So the Rizzo way is a sandwich with marinara sauce, red sauce, and cheese. And it's becoming ever so popular on our menu. So we definitely
great?
See that the customers are liking that.
I mean, think about it on the restaurant side. It's one thing to have kind of a dish that highlights a personality, and then you can do that to support a cause. But when it becomes one of the star dishes,
yeah,
right? When
great.
It becomes something great, I think you
it's
win.
It's like
win,
when
win.
I was a kid and I used to see our monitors in the kitchen just say, you know, beef, hot. Now I see beef, the Rizzo way. My eyes light up and I want to see if the Cubs are on. And
and I can contest, Anthony had every little ingredient on that sandwich Anthony had a part of. So his whole family would go back and forth. I think we had like 10 subs.
Yeah, what do you eat, 10 sandwiches that day?
Yeah, 10 sandwiches, trying to figure out exactly how we want it. So when we say the Rizzo way, it is really the Rizzo way.
He hit 2 home runs that night too, so.
You guys are always trying to make that.
I mean, I can't make this up.
I mean, we will remember back that I don't think the Cubs had won a World Series in 100 years, and then the relationship where the bone of beef became the official beef of Wrigley Field, and I think, was it immediate? Was it that year or maybe the year after that they won the World Series? There's got to be a connection.
Right. So I want to say it was like middle of our partnership with the Cubs. You know, we were trying to partner with a great organization, and Rizzo was just, after meeting him and stuff, it was more than we ever could have dreamed it could be with the partnership, just how genuine he is. And you heard from Abby that what he does on a monthly basis and invites kids out every other game to BP, it's larger than life to be able to partner with Anthony Rizzo.
He has sandwiches, Foundation. He hits home runs, it becomes the official beef of Wrigley Field. They win the World Series. There's got to be a connection. I think it's undeniable.
So, we were watching the game that night after he hit after he had the beefs and we filmed the commercial that day, and I'm sitting in bed watching the game. I'm like, oh, please don't hit another home run. I'm going to have to deliver 10 beef sandwiches to you every day.
Nice.
I would have loved that. I would have done
like,
that personally.
Oh. It was hilarious, but I'm like, I think we're going to have Bona Beef delivered to him every game now.
So, Abby, as the foundation moves forward and as we get towards the end of the baseball season, you guys are obviously doing stuff throughout the entire year. Talk a little bit about some of the things that you're doing, some of the places that you're doing it. We think about Chicago, obviously, and so much work is being done here. But you guys have expanded and you're helping people around the country.
Yeah. So we actually just made a $3.5 million commitment to Lurie Children's Hospital, which we're really excited about. The commitment is in an endowment. So I tell Anthony all this time, we're going to be 75 years old sitting on a beach having drinks, and you're still going to be giving back to the Chicago community, which is really exciting for us. So the endowments are funding two child life specialists to make sure that families really have the resources to kind of help them through the process. You think about sitting in a room with your 5-year-old child, and how do you explain to them that they have cancer? What do you say? How do you explain that your body's killing itself, and that for the next, with leukemia diagnosis, 4-year treatment, you're going to be in the out of the hospital for 3 days every week, and you're going to be poked and prodded and all of these little things, and you're going to have to take 30 pills at night. It's absolutely unbelievable what these families are going through. So we hired 2 child life specialists there that will really help the family through the process and the coping and explain it to the children and making it so they're not so scared coming into the hospital, and they really find it to be a fun place instead of a scary place. And then we also are funding the Hope 44 Fund across the United States. Actually, we're at Lurie Children's, Joe DiMaggio Children's Hospital, and we are about to announce a donation to University of Miami as well for $650,000 that will fund direct grants to families to help them pay for those added expenses you don't think about. But on top of the dollars, we do really cool things with our partners like Bona, where we go and we deliver lunch to all the families at the hospital. You don't think about that added cost to a family. You're in the hospital for 5 days. Only the child gets food technically, not the adult. And you're going out every day, 3 meals a day, trying to find food, and the added expense of probably $60 a day times 5 days times the 4 years you're in the hospital. So being able to bring a hot meal to them, something different that's not just right by the hospital, is a really fun, cool experience for us. And we love that we get to team up with Bona and do that often for those families.
It's really great work. And it's one thing people think of, hey, you want to go, you know, fund research, you want to help doctors find cures, and all those things are very, very important. But it's all those other things that are just as real, those other expenses and stressors and challenges that a family goes through that you guys are helping to address, I think is so important as well. So listeners, if they want to, you know, get involved, support it, how can they do it? We know they can go to Bona and get a sandwich the Rizzo way. They can do that. What other ways can they stay in touch and support you guys?
You can go to Rizzo44.com/donate and just do a donation. We also have something really fun called the Home Run Challenge. We're at the end of the season, but you can join us for the playoffs and kind of make every home run of Anthony's really count. So you can donate $5, $10, $50, $100, whatever you want. And every time Anthony hits a home run, which is hopefully a lot of them during the playoffs,
yes.
I'm hoping I'm taking a lot of your money during the playoffs, rerun your credit card for that amount. And that's called being on Team Rizzo, and there's really cool incentives connected to that. So every home run Anthony hits is really great for the Cubs, but it's also really great for us as we make about $3,000 per home run.
Oh, my gosh, that's so cool. One more time with the website.
It's Rizzo44.com.
So great work that you're doing. We'll follow up and definitely support you along the way as the Cubs hopefully get towards another World Series. And Joe, I know that Bona supports a lot of different causes in a million different ways. The Cubs connection is there, too, with JDRF. And we all remember, you know, Ron Santo, legendary Cub, and his support and connection with that. And you guys have something coming up on the walk side.
Yeah, we've donated to the JDRF for over the last several years. And this Sunday, October 1st, We're going to be providing food to all the walkers out there in four locations, and I believe we did 2 weeks ago in Merrillville, Indiana. So that's how we're partnering up over with the JDRF folks.
Great stuff. Great stuff coming up. I know as you get new locations, we're going to definitely share those here on WGN as well. But I want to thank you guys for both taking time out, coming into the studio, and thanks for being on WGN today.
Thanks for having us.
Hi, everyone. This is NASCAR driver Kenny Wallace and Fox Sports analyst. You are on the road with Dane and WGN.
.720 WGN on the road with Dane live here in the Allstate Showcase studio on Michigan Avenue. And on the line with us now, we've got fan favorite driver, one of the most beloved personalities of NASCAR. You see him as part of the great NASCAR on Fox broadcast. You hear him on your favorite podcast. You see him and experience him racing dirt tracks around the country. And you can often find him taking in a game at Busch Stadium for his beloved St. Louis Cardinals. The one and only Kenny Wallace, welcome to WGN.
Well, thanks for having me on such a famous radio show. I'm honored to be on.
We're honored to have you. You know, sometimes you need a little levity. You need somebody to kind of brighten the mood a little bit. And you're definitely doing that as we get into fall. And I know we're going to talk a little bit of racing, a little bit of your thoughts on the playoffs as we're going to start eliminating people after this weekend at Dover. You know, you are, if that is even possible, you're equal parts baseball Kenny Wallace as you are racing Kenny Wallace. And I thought that was really, really cool of you. I saw that post where you were there. You and your wife were at the game while the Cubs clinched, and you stuck it out with the Cubs at Busch Stadium.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we have to remember everything that the Cardinals have accomplished for so many years. And, you know, I am involved in competition all the time, my whole life. I've learned a lot of things about competition, and I'll never forget the gentleman that married me and my wife. His name was Father John, and he said, "Be careful, young man. Competition will kill you." And about 10 years later, I really thought about what he said, and I understand it. So it's true. Competition will take you down, and I have to learn how to, you know, balance it. And so thankful, you know, for everything my Cardinals have done. You just can't bail on them because you know you don't win, and you know they've given us way more good than they have bad.
Oh, you've got to recognize that when you look at it, you know, the Cardinals. And I know nobody, well, maybe not nobody, but maybe they need you to give them, to be that voice of reason. But nobody in Cardinal Nation is feeling too bad. You've got all those world championships, one of the most iconic franchises in all of sports. And granted, there's a little bit of rivalry, but it's only a rivalry when, you know, just in the last X amount of years, the Cubs have been starting to get better and better. I saw, too, is, you know, one of the comments that you had with one of your fans, too. You're talking about bringing up Tony La Russa. Tony La Russa, one of the most successful managers of all time, and you brought up Theo, and I think that's kind of where it starts, right? Is it? And you guys have still done a great job bringing in talent after talent. You lose great players, and you still truck along, but it really does start from the top.
It always starts with the top. You know, I mean, first of all, the Chicago Cubs are an incredible organization. I was at Wrigley about 3 weeks ago. Took a tour of Wrigley Field. Went, you know, underneath, on top. I was in the broadcast booth where the legendary Harry Carey sat. I was out on the ivy, and I learned so much, and I really respect the Cubs. But, you know, when you think about managing baseball teams, I had a great conversation with, you know, Tony La Russa. You know, he's won World Series with the American League and the National League, specifically two with the Cardinals in 06 and 11, and he's become a long-distance friend of mine. We have seen each other at the racetracks. We've seen each other down at the ball field. We have mutual respect. And years ago, I was asking Tony about all the injuries. You know, oh, my gosh, you know, we've lost this pitcher. We've lost this batter. And he looked at me and says, Kenny, managers cannot think that way. We manage with what we have. So this morning, you know, some of the fans were, you know, bummed out about our Cardinals, and, you know, we're talking about our pitching this, and I said, listen, you know, you look at Theo Epstein, you know, the Cubs brought in Theo Epstein. Then Theo hires, you know, your manager, you know, so people sometimes get it backwards. They go, oh, our manager's the reason. No, hold on. No, the manager hired Theo. So it starts at the very, very top of all successful organizations.
It really does. And when we first talked, just as the season was kicking off, opening day, Cubs, Cardinals, and Dexter Fowler, one of our favorite players here in Chicago, and people still miss him to this day, even though the team has had some success. He is just that spark plug. He's kind of that intangible. From a Cardinal fan perspective, I think he's done well. You look at the stats, they look pretty good. You know, they're definitely Dexter Fowler stats. What are your thoughts? How is Cardinal Nation embracing him, and what's their thought on year one?
Absolutely love Dexter Fowler. He could fit in anywhere, any team in all of Major League Baseball. He's a fun spirit. He is just so happy all the time. Really, you know, loves what he's doing. You can tell he just loves baseball. It was funny. I had a great conversation with a Chicago Cubs fan that was sitting behind me. We were section 159, row 5, seat 11 and 12. Me and my wife had the when you all clinched.
Nice.
And there was a Cubs fan. Obviously, our stadium was 70% full of Cubs fans, and that's another story. But anyway, we were talking about winning in championships, and we had a great conversation. I said, now, the hardest thing that any baseball team goes through is as soon as you win a World Series, then the players think they're great. And then other teams give them a lot more money than what they would have normally got. And, you know, and then that's what happens with Dexter Fowler, right? You win the World Series, and all of a sudden, you know, it goes way back with us. You know, we lost Oscar Taveras, our right fielder, in a horrible crash where he died out in Puerto Rico or Dominican Republic, either one. But anyway, when we lost Oscar Taveras, that really messed our outfield up, and we needed an outfielder badly. And then, of course, the Cubs win the World Series, and, you know, Dexter's good, don't get me wrong. But the bottom line is keeping a team together is virtually impossible. You know, that's why I was really impressed with how long the San Francisco Giants stayed together. Now they have finally paid the ultimate price. They were literally last in their, you know, in their division this year, and now it's going to it takes teams to rebuild after they win, you know, World Series, because everybody just steals players from your team.
You know, and it is the kind of thing that you mentioned, and that is one of the things that the Cardinals have done. You look at, right, the Giants, you know, winning three world championships with a lot of that same core, but ultimately it's going to get pulled apart because people are going to, you know, move off to free agency or get those deserved paydays they didn't have. You know, it's like Chris Bryant. You know, we've got him for a very low salary right now, and is he any different of player now this year that he's the, you know, he's the MVP than he was, you know, when he was a rookie? No, he's the same guy, but like you'd said, the public perception totally changes. But that's one of the things the Cardinals have been able to do is they retool. They lose Tony La Russa, they still go to the World Series. They lose Albert Pujols, they still just retool with other players. And I think that's that mindset that the Cardinals have always had and that has led to a lot of success that you guys have had. I don't think anybody should be worried about anything. In fact, you're the blueprint in a lot of times that teams are following as far as how to do it with the farm system, build up, get that talent, get those players. You're going to lose them, but through that process of having them for a while, you're going to win some games and probably win some championships. I wanted to pivot a little bit to kind of the thing here. A baseball season, people talk about there's going to be streaks. You're going to win some games. You're going to lose some games. But in the end, and John Lackey said it too, the cream kind of rises to the top and you're going to be whoever you're going to be. And as we get to Dover and you look at that racetrack and you've got Jimmy Johnson there, who is only in seventh place, you know, of course, Martin Truex Jr. has been leading this entire time. He's almost been anointed as this is going to be his year. But you've got over the course of an entire season, the cream is going to rise to the top. And oftentimes at the end of a season for Monster Energy Cup, Jimmy Johnson's there more times than most people looking for that eighth championship. So what do you think is going to happen? Is this going to be that kind of – I'm thinking this may be that race. I wanted to get your thoughts. Is he going to start making that move?
Well, we're going to hold that here because of Northwestern football. We're running a little bit behind, and we want to get Kenny Wallace's thoughts on all of those things. So that will be – as soon as we get done with the program, we'll head up to the studio, and we'll post that to WGNradio.com for Kenny's thoughts on breaking down Dover, Jimmy Johnson and all that. So stay tuned for that. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to have Brian Grahams. He's the star of History Channel's new show, Volo, House of Cars. So stay tuned for that. It's On the Road with Dane here on 720 WGN.
We know Jimmy Johnson is a seven-time champion, so we know he knows how to drive the race car. So that's out of the question. We know how talented he is. But, you know, can the team keep that pace up? You know, when you look at baseball, you know, take, for example, the Cubs. Can they keep their core players together, you know, for 8 years? Well, absolutely not. It's impossible. So what Jimmy Johnson has done is he's kept, you know, his crew chief, Chad Knaus, and then the car manager. So there's three of them that they've kept together, and those three have been able to win these championships. And I believe that's the reason he's got the longevity of, you know, winning so many championships in a row. So when we go to Dover this weekend, you know, Sunday is the big race. This is the house that Jimmy Johnson built. I mean, he's won 12 races there. That is unheard of. I mean, nobody has won any more than Jimmy there. So, you know, it's not going to surprise me if you get halfway through the race and all of a sudden Jimmy Johnson's leading the race and then all of a sudden he's a favorite for the championship.
Yeah, it'll be exciting. So many fans built into it. So many fans are kind of waiting for him to emerge. They've accepted the fact that there's this whole kind of Jimmy missing in action period sometimes in the middle of these seasons. And it brings you up to, you think about the success of Hendricks and kind of a change of philosophies there. You've got guys like, you know, Casey Kane is going to be racing for somebody else. You've got Dale Jr. stepping down. And you've got some of these younger drivers that are going to get in there, which is kind of a complete switch over the philosophy that Rick Hendricks used to do. He said he didn't train drivers, you know, he just bought them, and now he's kind of switching on that as well.
Well, I think that we are in that era of life. You know, we can go 15 years. I mean, you take example Jeff Gordon. There is no doubt in my mind that Jeff Gordon was single-handedly the person that made Hendrick so great. Now, don't get me wrong. Rick Hendrick has got a great race team, and they won a lot of races before Jeff Gordon. We all know that. But what I'm saying is when you pair a great God-gifted driver like Jeff Gordon with Hendrick, then you get what everybody saw all those years. So together they made Hendrick Motorsport just, you know, one of the greatest race teams in the history of NASCAR. And basically it is. If you look at all the stats right now, Hendrick is the greatest team. So it is fun, you know, to see Rick Hendrick try to keep it going. You know, remember Jeff Gordon
was the one that said, hey, let's go get Jimmy Johnson. And lo and behold, Jimmy Johnson carries on the tradition. And then they went and got, you know, Dale Earnhardt Jr. And now they've got two drivers in Chase Elliott, who is 21 years old. And now next year they're going to get William Byron, who is like 19 or 20. So, you know, when you look way back, Rick Hendrick did take a chance on Jeff Gordon. Jeff Gordon was like 19, 20 years old. So it truly is history repeating itself. You know, are they going to be able to get the next Jeff Gordon? Man, I don't know. That's a tough one to follow.
Yeah, and even is there one out there? Who knows? You know, the way that kind of the parity is going on, we've had so many different drivers succeed and win throughout the course of the season, and just the way that NASCAR is building up the stages in the racing, it kind of lends itself to having a lot of people have each different pieces of success throughout the season. You bring up Jeff Gordon and absolutely one of the all-time greats, and you never know what life is going to take as far as those kind of twists and turns in a career. And I you know, I read something, I saw maybe a tweet or some social media where he was out at a Formula One race and he had mentioned how he had almost gone to race in Formula One as opposed to stock car racing. You never know what would have happened with that when it comes to multiple styles of racing, and racing fans love racing of all kinds. And you've got guys like Tony Stewart, who's been, you know, open wheel racer in a, you know, a really successful dirt track racer. And you've got yourself, who's raced in a number of different series and still loving that dirt track racing. For those people that love, you know, Kenny Wallace on Fox for the, you know, NASCAR on Fox broadcast, and of course all of the stock car racing that you have done and your family has done over the years, describe a little bit about, for those people, the uninitiated, right, what is it about dirt track racing that you love and you do to this day?
Well, you brought it up. Jeff Gordon started on dirt. You look at Tony Stewart, he started on dirt. Jimmy Johnson, our seven-time champion, started with off-road trucks on dirt. I can go on and on. Casey Kane, Clint Bowyer. And I wanted to run dirt, and you know, people want to go back because, you know, that's the grassroots of all of auto racing. Here, let me put it this way, okay? Chris Bryant with the Chicago Cubs did not just show up at Wrigley. He didn't do that. He started somewhere else, and then he showed up. And that's the same way NASCAR drivers are. You just don't show up at NASCAR. You got to come from somewhere. And right now, like 90-something percent of these drivers come from local dirt tracks. I mean, Kankakee, Illinois, just south of y'all a little bit. That's a great little dirt track. It's gone now, but LaSalle used to run on every Friday nights. And, you know, that is a great racetrack. So all the great race car drivers, all the great ball players, they all come from somewhere, and it's either a high school, a local dirt track. And that's what keeps everybody going back to these little bull rings, is because that's where it all started. And people like to get back to the something that makes them feel good. And there's not a lot of pressure on dirt racing. Right now I'm in the middle of three in a row. We run Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night. So it's a lot of fun. It's very, very competitive. You know, the NASCAR drivers just don't go back to these little dirt tracks and win. I'll leave you with that subject, something that Dale Sr. taught me. He said, Kenny, there are thousands of great race car drivers all around the United States. Not everybody can make it to NASCAR. And when I run these dirt tracks, my gosh, there are some really good drivers that just, for one reason or another, never made it to NASCAR.
And let's talk the last and final thing, and this is going to happen, of course. We're on here Saturday, WGN Radio 720, in our home track, Chicagoland Speedway, Route 66, down there in Joliet. And the Kenny Wallace Dirt Track Experience is going to be there tomorrow, this Sunday. So that's one of the things people love about racing, certainly the action, the personalities, but the access, right? So talk a little bit about, if you can, or share how people can get involved, get to do some of those great things that you talked about, and do them with you.
Yeah, if you want to experience what it's like to get on a dirt track, and the key word is experience, we're not going to teach you how to be a race car driver. You do not have to go at a high rate of speed. All you do is go to dirtracewithkenny.com. Once again, it's just dirtracewithkenny.com. Our schedule is constantly changing, and, you know, suitable for the weather. Once again, we're racing on raw dirt. And there's thousands of these dirt tracks throughout the United States. So pick yourself out a racetrack. And you just mentioned Joliet, you know, about 45 minutes outside of the city. of Chicago, and this is our third year. It's quite a fun experience, and you can drive three different categories of type cars. You can drive a late model, a modified, or even a dirt wing sprint car. So it's a lot of fun. It's been going good, and it just it's for the fans in the stands that go, what's it like to be down there doing that? And, yeah, it's a lot of fun. You know, I got to tell you, in January, I'm going to Jupiter, Florida to do the fantasy camp with the St. Louis Cardinals. So it's all kind of the same thing, you know.
That is absolutely awesome, right? You get out there, you can live your passion, whatever that is, even if it's enjoying the baseball of the St. Louis Cardinals. And now there's an opportunity tomorrow at Route 66. You can see Kenny on Fox, of course, for the NASCAR Monster Energy Cup, and you can see him at the Cardinals game. You can be with him tomorrow over at Route 66, and you can go ahead and do some dirt racing and get in there up close and personal. So, Kenny, before we let you go, give your social media out so people can follow. You are prolific. You are a fan favorite, not only on the track, but also in all the things that you say and do on social media.
Well, we got Twitter and Instagram. So just for my Twitter is Kenny_Wallace. And then same thing pretty much on Instagram, just Kenny Wallace. And check us out. We're just having fun. That's all there is to it. Just posting, you know, what's going on at the races. And I've got a beautiful grandbaby. And, you know, we just simply have fun. We try, every once in a while we get wrapped up in this busy world, but most of my stuff is fun and what I'm up to, and always have pictures.
We love what you do, and of course, thanks for letting the fans get that little kind of view into the lifestyle and enjoying some of that fun along with you, along with all of the fast as they do. Kenny Wallace, thanks so much for what you're doing, and thanks for being on WGN today.
All right, buddy. Well, thanks a lot. Let's set this
party off right. Hey, Smart Trex Jr., driver of the number 78 Furniture Row Toyota, and you're on the road with Dean on WGN.
.720 WGN on the road with Dane, live here Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. People have sweatshirts, coats, but still unseasonably awesome here in Chicago, as is the television viewing for those people who love to watch a little bit of cars and maybe get a little Chicago area influence in their TV watching as well. Excited to talk to this guy. We've had him on the show before. It is Brian Grams. He is out there at the Volo Auto Museum, and now he is the host, the star, if you will, on History Channel's brand new show, Volo House of Cars. Brian, welcome back to WGN.
Hey, thanks for having me. I don't know if I'm a star yet, but hopefully we'll get a second season and that'll happen.
Well, you're sure working on it. You know, a lot of us, that's first step, right? To be a star is get yourself on television, especially the History Channel. How great is that? And so give a little bit of insight to the listeners about the show. People have heard about Volo. So many people have gotten out to see you. But as far as the show, what are people watching?
Well, people have been telling us for years that we need to have our own show, and we finally came up with the right production company and that we were comfortable with to make it happen. And it's called Volo House of Cars. It is the first season, and it's in the test phase right now. They want to see what kind of ratings we can get to determine where we're going to go in the future here with other seasons and time slots and such as that. But it focuses more on the it's different from the rest of the car shows. It's not about the deal, the wheeling and dealing, back and forth, about the numbers, and it's not about restoration. It's about the hunt, the discovery, and the history of some of our more unique vehicles. Like last weekend, we had the Elvis Presley car on there, our search for it and our discovery of this, lost Elvis Presley car. That's what last week's episode was about.
Well, you have this situation where, and you and I have talked about it before, and you know this has been your family's history, your family's story, is that there's so many stories behind these cars. You know, it's one thing, it's a car, it's Elvis, but then it opens up the entire world to the king of rock and roll, and he was so identified with a lot of those vehicles and things that he knew, loved, and his fans. I think it is really cool, and there are some great shows, and we're friends with some of the hosts of those programs that do some of the restoration shows, or even some of those kind of auction-y kind of shows. But this is really cool, and I cannot think of another group of people or another location that would be perfect to be a part of it. I mean, really, there's no one else that does what you guys do.
No, we've been doing it since 1960, so we've evolved from a classic car dealership into a museum, which, now it's a combination of both. So we're really unique compared to a lot of other dealers and auctions. With the involvement that we get to do. I mean, we're not just cars. We're boats, motorcycles, kiddie rides, snowmobiles, Nickelodeons, and other music machines. I mean, we're just all over the map. It's family. We have our own interests, and we just have a lot of fun doing it.
So,
a lot about what the show is about.
Letting the listeners know, we're talking with Brian Graham, star of Volo House of Cars on the History Channel. So, Brian, when can people? I know there's some key times in this first season where people can watch it. Is it tomorrow? Is the next time people get their chance on History Channel?
Yeah, tomorrow morning, local time is 6 a.m., so set your alarm clocks or your DVR. It's on at 6 a.m. It's Wheelie Dealy. It's got some Disney cars and a car that was purposely built to do wheelies. And then next weekend is the season finale. It's an hour-long program. We got 2 half-hour episodes back-to-back. And that'll be the season finale.
So what is people, and for History Channel, check out your local listings. It's usually part of kind of your basic cable program, a lot of great programs on history. So I think if you had to pick a place to be, it is really cool because there's some auto-related programs that have been quite successful on there. But for those people that love those shows and also kind of know you and Volo, what is the thing that you'd share about them that's different about kind of the behind the scenes of making a TV show?
It's been a complete learning experience for even myself. It's a lot of work. That much I'll say. I mean, you've got cameras around you all the time. You've got, 20-hour days that you're working sometimes. Some of the people that you get, that you meet, like some of the characters that you're dealing with, these are car people. They're not actors. And it can be pressing, dealing with some of those people as well. It's interesting, difficult, fun, and exciting.
Well, the great thing is you got the co-stars, some of those legendary vehicles from throughout history, throughout television, movies, some of your favorite entertainers. Those cars are the co-stars along with you. Brian Graham's out there. History Channel, Volo House of Cars. Give us the website one more time where people can check it out before we let you go.
Now they can go to volocars.com and it'll be under our events section that they'll be able to find the about the TV show.
Good luck. Good luck with all of it. And of course, Chicago will be tuned in. I know I will. And we'll talk to you soon, Brian. Thanks for jumping on the line.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, Brian Graham's from Volo. It's cool to see local people highlighted, especially when they've got a lot of great things to share as well. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we mentioned Mecum Auto Auctions coming to the Schaumburg Convention Center. We're going to have a 4-pack of tickets available. It'll be, what do you want, at least like the 5th caller, something like that?
Yeah, let's go 5th caller today.
Okay, 5th caller. And when we take a break, we'll come back. We'll announce our winner. It's On the Road with Dane here on 720 WGN.